talking about grace today, and in our Monday health conversation with Lisa Marone, physical therapist, professor, author, and speaker, who encourages us to get healthy for heaven's sake. We need some grace in this area of dealing with the family members and the dementia. And in fact, Lisa has done some research on this while she was writing her book, Getting Healthy, Get Healthy for Heaven's Sake, and want to just touch on it, just her report just today, I think, Lisa, about the costs of caring for those patients that have, you know, dementia or Alzheimer's. You've done some study on this. In fact, it's a personal matter for you and your family as well as mine.
Oh, absolutely, Neil. Both my grandmother on my mother's side, along with my mother, in their 60s, began their slow slide into dementia. And it's a very painful thing to watch, if any of you are dealing with that. Neil, you said you are as well with your mom. And sometimes the dementia slide is kind of quiet, and people with dementia are peaceful, and then other times they can be combative. But in either way, they're losing the wholeness of their mind that God had given them. And so I was definitely worried for myself. You know, I know that there's a lot of genetic predisposition to dementia, and so I really dug into that research. I attended a conference in a very famous laboratory out here on Long Island, New York, the Cold Spring Harbor Labs, and they were talking about this subject and what was the latest research. And researcher after researcher came to describe what dementia was and said, yes, there is this genetic component. But over and over again, the presenters said that lifestyle choices trumped genetics over and over again. And so I left that conference with such excitement that I possibly could change my path from the way that my mother and my grandmother had gone down by ways that I chose to live. And so I write about that in one of the chapters of Get Healthy for Heaven's Sake. But today we're going to talk about specifically how our emotional and social lives can impact, either lead us down the road of dementia or away from it.
Because I think, Lisa, we don't always think about that, I guess, in terms of lifestyle choices. Think, well, yes, a healthy diet, regular exercise, but what are we talking about with emotional well-being?
Yeah, you know, this is so interesting. Our brain kind of fertilizes itself, and the way it does that is it produces this hormone that's a long name. It's called brain-derived neurotrophin factor, but I like to think of it as Miracle-Grow for the brain. And so it actually produces its own fertilizer, and that helps us when we lose brain cells as we get older. It helps to produce new brain cells, and it also helps to build new bridges, because our old bridges from brain cell to brain cell tend to deteriorate over time. But this Miracle-Grow for the brain, it produces these new secondary bridges. And what we've found, what science has found, is that when we're under chronic prolonged stress, when we suffer from depression, when we are anxious by nature, suffer with a lot of anxiety, we actually suppress our brain's production of this Miracle-Grow. And so that's one of the ways that our emotions impact our brain's health.
Well, it's not to say the medication isn't, you know, might be in order, and those other things are, you know, diet and exercise important as well. But does that mean that there are some things that we can do to, I mean, whatever we do to reduce anxiety or depression is going to pay some dividends?
Yeah, you know, when someone is suffering from depression, they will usually take a medication that's going to either increase their brain's chemical level of something called serotonin, or it's going to improve the brain's ability to utilize serotonin. And there was this fabulous study that was done in terms of how social interaction changes the amount of serotonin and endorphins, that's that other feel-good hormone that we produce for ourselves within our brain. And the way the study went was that they took three people. They had one person as a bystander, just kind of watching an interaction between two other people. And between the two other people, they had someone do, one of those two, do a nice gesture, something nice for that person, that second person. And what was interesting was the person who had something nice done for them, you know, they felt better, they felt good, and so their serotonin and endorphin levels increased. And then when they checked the blood of the person who was the do-gooder, the person who had performed that nice act, their serotonin and endorphin levels increased in their blood supply. And then most remarkably was the person who was just the bystander, the one who got to watch that social interaction take place, their serotonin and endorphin levels increased, which just goes to show us, Neil, that we need to be out doing social things. We need to be impacting people's lives, watching other people impact others' lives. And here's the thing, a lot of people who are depressed who might be listening to this show are thinking right now, well, I'm so depressed I don't feel like interacting with people. But, you know, my pastor once said, if you fall out of love with your spouse, begin to do the things that you would do if you were in love with them, and then the feeling will follow the action. And so I just encourage people to do the same thing. If you're depressed and you don't feel like being around people, just get outside of yourself and do it anyway, because the feeling will follow and those hormones will follow.
And I'm sure you maybe experienced that through your grandmother and mother, and you know, my mother as well. Just, you know, they're, you get in seasons where it's like, well, I don't really want to go out. I just want to, you know, stay inside. I don't want to do anything. And, you know, it seems like we probably need to kind of break through those resistance barriers a little bit to help those others, you know, that are maybe facing this, because it is going to make a difference, pay some dividends all the way around.
Absolutely. So, you know, being shut in and being socially, I guess, barren, if you would, is really going to impact that. The other thing that's interesting is when we're under prolonged stress and anxiety, we're going to produce this fight-or-flight hormone. It's called epinephrine, and another one called dopamine. And these hormones are going to just be racing through our body, and they're kind of what just keeps us in a state of hypertension like that. And that's going to start to wear on our brains, because what they've found, they've done brain scans, and our brains are made up of gray matter, which is kind of the internal material that helps us to breathe and keep our balance. But then on the outside of our brains, we have all this white matter, which is really our intelligent property, if you would. And what they found is when you're under chronic stress, prolonged stress, that the areas in your brain that dictate your memory and your focus and your concentration actually physically begin to waste away. So you have a loss of brain mass when you're under chronic stress. And so it's so important that, yes, we all go through stressful times in life, but we need to make changes in our lives or get counseling care or even medication care. But we do need to combat that prolonged stress, because that is going to anatomically even change our brain structure and lead us down that road towards dementia.
We don't have to, you know, wait till we're 60 plus to become more socially engaged, be out doing good, to be developing relationships. It really kind of sounds like what Jesus had in mind for us as being the body of Christ, right?
Yeah, you know, as soon as I heard that social and emotional well-being impacted my brain's future health, I made sure, I have a busy schedule, but every week I schedule a time to get together with a friend. In fact, after this interview, I'm running to the nursing home to enjoy my friendship with a 93-year-old woman there. And so I make sure that I fit that into my day, because it's so critical to my brain's health, as well as to my heart's health, to be involved with people.
You can find out a little bit more. There's a chapter in Lisa's book, Get Healthy for Heaven's Sake, that's addressing some of the negative effects of these emotions and how you can, you know, use a little brain cell fertilizer. Lisa, always love talking with you. Thank you for this encouragement today, and we look forward to connecting with you on a Monday real soon.
Yeah, thanks, Neil, for the opportunity. Have a super day.
Lisa Marone is physical therapist, professor and author, and speaker, encouraging people to get healthy for heaven's sake. Joins us regularly here on Connecting Faith.